Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cricket Badger IPL Daily Podcast 2021. The Indian Premier League 14th edition. It's great to have you with us. From the first match all the way to the final. Chennai Super Kings, Delhi Capitals, Kolkata Knight Riders, Mumbai Indians, Punjab Kings, Rajasthan Royals, Royal Challengers, Bangalore, Sunrisers, Hyderabad. May the best team win. Brought to you in association with Who Knows Wins. Put your money where your mates are and play along with the Cricket Badger.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Cricket Badger IPL Daily. I, as the observant among you may have noticed, am not James Butler, the Cricket Badger. He is off at the tennis scouting for the next Emma Raducanu. I am your deputy badger, Knuckle Pandey, and I'm joined to discuss the Sunrisers Hyderabad's comfortable, in the end, 7-wicket victory against the Rajasthan Royals when it doesn't matter, by Naman Shah and by Sunrisers one remaining superfan, Neil Virani. Neil, where has that been all season?
It's the Adebayor rule. There's no point in playing unless you're actually going for a contract. And with the mega auction coming up, everyone's playing for their place. If the rumours are to be believed, only two retentions, only two right to match. It's all going to go on this winter at the auction. So everyone's playing for their place.
It was a remarkable display in terms of attacking intent. We'll give you the rundown. Rajasthan Royals made 164 for 5, having won the toss and elected to bat in Dubai on a decent looking pitch. Sanju Samson making 82 off 57 balls. Yashasvi Jaiswal making 36 off 22. Couple of wickets for Siddharth Kaul, 1 wicket apiece for Rashid Khan, Sandeep Sharma, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, and the Sunrisers, with Jason Roy leading the way, 60 off 42. A very good debut for Jason Roy in Sunrisers Orange, Naman.
Yeah, brilliant debut for Jason Roy. He set the mark perfectly for SRH and a brilliant win overall. And I felt Rajasthan was on course to build a good total at around 180, but it was a great comeback by SRH, especially Siddharth Kaul. That last over, he went for plenty ahead, but in a way it helped SRH when Lomlor was at the crease. Likes of Tevatia and Morris did not get a chance to come in and go for the onslaught, so it was a perfect script for SRH. And also, Roy was brilliantly accompanied by Saha, though he made few runs, but he stayed over there for a few overs and still the power plays, and the stage was set for Williamson, and I always expected that today was his day. He won't let this match go away by any chance. And feel bad for Priyam Garg, but yes, he needs more matches. You cannot just judge him on one match. And it was good to see Abhishek Sharma also. So I felt this team playing 11 was quite balanced compared to other playing 11s with the likes of Kedar Jadhav and everyone. They just got too many chances even after not performing that nicely. This playing 11 looks quite balanced. So overall, a brilliant win for SRH.
Yeah, let's discuss those team changes, Neil. Four changes for the Sunrisers. David Warner being dropped, the headline news. Understand he wasn't even at the ground today. Jason Roy coming in. And then Manish Pandey, Kedar Jadhav, Twitter number crunchers, least favourite players in the IPL. And Khalil Ahmed being left out for Siddharth Kaul as well. Abhishek Sharma and Priyam Garg coming in. Let's take it back to the start of the match. Were you happy with those changes before we knew what was going to happen?
I was... I'll say, as far as the bowling change goes, I was much for much between Khalil and Sid Kaul. I think they're both perfectly serviceable bowlers. Neither one really provides an X factor, but they'll be part of a good bowling attack. I was very happy with the changes in the batting lineup. David Warner has not been what everyone expects David Warner to be ever since he's come back after Sandpapergate. The first season back, he played the anchor role, but it never really exploded. And this season, it's just been an absolute drag on Sunrisers batting, especially when you've got Manish Pandey coming in at one down, who does exactly the same thing, only without even the potential to accelerate at the end. You'll get the occasional six, but so many dot balls that his place can't be justified other than by his paycheck. And Kedar, I mean, I've been a great fan of Kedar over the years, but he looks to be a couple of years past his best as well. And especially when you have three young up-and-coming batters of great potential in Priyam Garg, Abhishek Sharma and Abdul Samad. Samad's the only one who's really had a good go. And I understand last season we had a number of times where there were collapses because there were too many young players who didn't have that experience, that when a couple of wickets went down, they lost their heads a little bit. But all that needed to be done was a little bit of mixing of the batting lineup so that you didn't have them coming in straight after each other. But they had previously been stifled, I think, by the more established players who have not produced over a long period of time. I'll be very interested to see where David Warner goes from here. I think, personally, ever since he came back, he hasn't been anywhere near the player he was before. And I don't think he's really been anywhere near the player that he needs to be to play for either the Sunrisers or Australia. I think that he's been kept in by one tremendous innings against Pakistan on the flattest deck in the world, where the bowlers were just kind of fodder.
The Test triple 100.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were perfect conditions for David Warner. They're fast bowlers who don't have a huge amount of experience playing in Australia on a very true bouncy track. Those are the type of conditions that David Warner will take down. But especially in the IPL, where the pitches are more variable, they're generally slower, they're certainly nowhere near as true. He's been going along at just over a strike rate of 100 and has actually been damaging the Sunrisers' totals by staying in for so long at that strike rate. You accept a slow strike rate at the start from a Gale or a Milan in the knowledge that after 15 balls, they really start to crank it up. But Warner just hasn't done that. And he wasn't really that player previously. He used to go very fast from the start and then keep going. And this new style of David Warner has not been anywhere near worth the money he's being paid or the spot that he's occupying at Sunrisers.
Looks increasingly likely that David Warner will not be retained next year. We'll come on to that later, but Naaman talked about it with Rajasthan, perhaps wasting a good position. Sanju Samson looking increasingly good, but increasingly lonely in that Rajasthan batting lineup.
Yes, likes of Livingston and all, these are the kind of decks which is not going to help them and just come and slog every delivery. They'll have to pace their innings and also go for singles and doubles and then set their launch pad. So you have seen other hitters as well, Russell and all, and they are not just coming and slogging everyone. So they'll have to place in their asset box one or two gears and then go for their big hits, what they are known for. Overall, if you'll see, Lewis and Livingston are similar kind of players. So they'll have to spend on these wickets. These are not that easy to just come and set ablaze right from ball one. So apparently you will see Samson also, he is learning and he is playing throughout the innings. He has changed his innings. He was also much like coming, playing one over or so, and then again going for the slog hits. And his USP is getting out on bad balls and not on the good ones. So right now he's just looking like a mature player. And he has seen likes of Shreyas Iyer and everyone, how they are pacing their innings and staying over there till the last over. And this is much more expected from Samson. Yes, so overall, if you'll see other players as well, Lomror and all, yes, they are getting into this team. They haven't got much chance, but much is expected from Lewis and Livingston overall. But as I said today, Bhuvneshwar and everyone just bowled brilliant deliveries in the last four overs. Him, Holder and everyone. So they just did not let them, the batsmen, get away. Even though Samson was there, they fell 20 runs short. So overall, it was a good match for SRH, but plenty of thinking needs to do for RR. And also, I was surprised with his captaincy of not bringing Zakaria till 12th over. I feel he is a good new ball bowler and he's a wicket taker, so he should have bowled him in the first six overs, at least two overs. He should have gone for with Morris not in that great form after we saw him in the last match. He bowled at around 10 to 11 balls over. So he should have used Zakaria more wisely today.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, Neil. Chris Morris bowled two overs in the power play, which he doesn't often do. I quite liked the Zakaria just bowling almost like Malinga style, with coming in and just bowling his four of the death. I think that's not a bad idea. What were your thoughts on that, on the way that Sanju Samson, A, batted, going unusually slowly for him to the at the start, which is its own risk, and then the way that he marshalled his bowling resources? Because I think Rajasthan, actually, they didn't bowl particularly badly, and I think they did, they managed to tie down and frustrate Jason Roy for a time.
I think as far as Sanju went, I did get worried because I think I've spoken in the past that he seems to take a match or two to warm up every season. Then he scores an unbelievable 100 and then he just seems to waste every other innings. And I thought this restart might have reset that and we were going to be faced with that again, which would be typical Sunrisers luck. I always find that he does start off slowly and then really explodes at the end. I thought he was superb today, especially when he didn't really have a huge amount around him. I thought Jaiswal was great while he was there. Livingston wasn't there for very long, and Lumrah really struggled today, and Samson had to put up with that. The one thing that did frustrate me about him is I think there were a lot of twos left out there. There didn't seem to be very much urgency in the running, especially when Samson was there, and I think there were definitely some runs left out on the field from that point of view. Someone mentioned, as far as the bowling choices went, that Jason Roy likes to access sort of through the covers, and that a left-hander often plays into that. And they thought that that was possibly the reason that Zakaria didn't come in. I mean, I see him bowling-wise as quite like Sam Curran. So you'd think that a couple of overs at the start would be something that he'd do fairly regularly. Possibly it was a matchups thing with Jason Roy. I think also with the way that he bowls, it only leaves one side of the ground open. So you've got to be quite careful at that stadium, where I believe it's the biggest differential between one side and the other. I think it's 62 meters one side, 74 the other.
It depends which strip they play on. There is one strip where you have a one very, very short boundary and one much longer boundary. These tactical questions about who you bowl to which batter are interesting.
Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls.
I was a little surprised, maybe Norman, that they didn't start with spin to Jason Roy, because it is something that teams try and do sometimes when Jason Roy comes in. Because we saw that as that innings went on, he's a much better player against spin now than he was a few years ago once he's set.
Yes, I also saw when he went for a sweep shot. I've never seen him play that shot against the spinners. He went for one and it was well connected and went to, for the boundary. But I was also surprised why Shreyas Gopal was not part of this playing 11 today. He should have been there, because they are not much used to play Lumrah that much, one or two overs here and there, but they are not using him completely. So overall, yes, Tewati also, but he is much of a skidder and not a spinner. So overall, they should have played one leggy with the kind of hitting Jason Roy does. I felt they took him lightly. There was no game plan against him.
Do you think that they were expecting Warner to play?
Yes. I truly am thinking that they expected that, but also after thinking Jason Roy, they did not work on his weakness also and just let him go away right from ball one. Somewhere I do agree what Neil mentioned with left-armers, but they ended up bowling Mustafizur and also Unadkat to Jason Roy, where both Mustafizur and also Morris are not that new ball bowlers. With Unadkat, he's just getting into the team in the second half. They should have used Sakaria, because getting Jason Roy and the rest of the batting was not that in a positive mode, so it would have been much more easier for RR to close this match. But for 6 overs, and the game was set there itself, and it was just a cakewalk for Williamson to close this.
Rajasthan missed a huge opportunity here, Neil, against a Sunrisers team completely bereft of confidence. Had they won today, had it been a big win, they might have made it into fourth place. But they could have increased their lead, but they would have made it into the playoff places with a win today. Now, particularly if you look at their run in, where they're playing basically the top four in their next four games, they might have wasted their chance. Maybe not wasted their chance, but they've made their path to the top four a lot harder.
Definitely, and to be honest, they're doing better than I thought they would do in this second half. They burgled a victory against Punjab, but apart from that, have actually played pretty well. And I thought the loss of Butler, I mean, Stokes got injured in the first game, so he hasn't been there. But if you think Butler, Stokes, Archer, probably their three most expensive players, and Sampson aside, probably their three most influential players, to have lost those over a season, I thought they were done and dusted. Sampson is stepping up more regularly. Bowlers generally have been very good, apart from bizarrely Chris Morris, since we come back, who I thought was very good in the first half of the season, but has seemed really off since they've come back for this second half of the IPL. I was a bit surprised to see Unadkat in there today, especially when you've got Sakaria already.
That was an injury, you understand. Karthik Tyagi, who's been very good for them this season, was injured, so they brought in Unadkat. They have Akash Singh, who is Karthik Tyagi's opening partner in the Under-19 World Cup, but he's very, very inexperienced. So that was an injury thing, although as number two, they could have brought in Gopal as yet another spin bowler.
I think, I didn't realise Tyagi being left out was an injury. So that did confuse me when I started watching at the start of the match and just wondered where this absolute firebrand from the last couple of games had gone. But yeah, the spin option was definitely missed, I think. As you say, depending on which strip they use, it becomes a very matchup heavy game at this stadium. But we saw with Mumbai versus RCB that if you pick the right person to bowl the right end against the right people, then even a part-timer can look very good. There seemed to be less rhyme or reason about how the spinners, or the part-time spinners really, as they are for Rajasthan, were used this game. Is pretty much, right, the power play's over, we'll bring in the slow bowlers now and see if we can drag things back a little bit. But they're both sort of two-leg spinners who don't really spin it, and they got played easily to begin with, and then smacks a bit. Someone like Shreyas Gopal would have been a lot more dangerous and could have possibly been used as a matchup bowler in the power play against Jason Roy, who we've seen certainly at the start of his innings can be quite tentative to the ball moving away.
Yeah, those Rajasthan fixtures that they've got Royal Challengers Bangalore on Wednesday, Chennai Super Kings on Saturday, Mumbai Indians on next Tuesday, and then the Kolkata Knight Riders on Thursday. Game in Dubai, then Abu Dhabi, then two games at Sharjah, and who knows how that's going to play. Sunrisers Hyderabad that can potentially spoil the rest of the tournament for Chennai Super Kings, Kolkata Knight Riders, Royal Challengers Bangalore, and Sunrisers Hyderabad in that order. They're at Sharjah later this week, then Dubai, then two games in Abu Dhabi. Speaking of RCB, you've got a question from Ashutosh Chaturvedi on YouTube. hat-trick hero yesterday, Harshal Patel. He says, Ashutosh says he's doing great on the UAE pitches. Any chance he can feature in the World Cup squad? Big call, Ashutosh.
I would be surprised just on the basis that Harshal's been around quite a while and he's having an absolutely brilliant season, but they already have two guys in the injury squad who bowl, you know, right arm, fast medium. And I'd be very surprised if Deepak Chahar wasn't next on next on the list. I think it's just a measure of India's strength in the pace department these days, especially for these kind of pitches, that you can have an absolutely great season and it all it does is get you to the back of the line. You'll be next time there's an opportunity for a second or third team where the fixture pilot means that separate squads have to be sent out, then I think there's a very good chance that Harshal Patel will be given a chance. But to get straight into a World Cup squad, I think you need some measure of international games behind you, and I don't think India would pick him directly.
My name is Jacob, and I sent the Badger a message, and now I'm on the podcast with this jingle. If you would like to get in touch with the Cricket Badger podcast, then tweet @cricket_badger.
Who knows wins? Put your money where your mates are. There's over 25,000 players and over £1 million already won. The biggest community pot was £31,000 and there's over 12,000 leagues created. Download our free app and play against your friends and family with bragging rights and real money on the line. Who knows wins in a different league.
Naaman, you agree with that? Harshal Patel's 30 now, having his by a mile his best season in the IPL. I don't think he played more than five games in a season before this season. But let's broaden the question out. Do you see any changes to that squad? For example, maybe Ishan Kishan, who's having a terrible season, out for maybe Sanju Samson, or indeed Shreyas Iyer, who's in those who's in that reserve list?
Yes, I do see, because yes, talent is one thing, but World Cup is only going to be about not only skills but temperament. I feel it's not going to be that easy to play against the likes of New Zealand and everyone. It's going to take a real beating over there, and I feel that the pressure of getting selected in India's team is getting more of Surya Kumar as well as Ishan Kishan, so that might same happen with Harshal Patel. So I guess right now let him be what it is, and let him perform more, and then maybe slowly guide him into the team. And also, like, Ishan Kishan is a young guy, right? So yesterday it was good to see Kohli with him. So I always felt that whenever he was chosen, both him and Surya Kumar got chosen for India as well, and getting straight into the World Cup, yes, pressure is going to mount up on them. That is why they need to adjust to the pitches, and it is not going to be like this is way I play, I'll just log from the first ball, as we spoke for the sloggers as well. They'll have to see how Williamson played today, how Samson played today. They'll have to change their gears and act accordingly, and there's a lot of competition over there for the opening slot. So Ishan Kishan, somewhere I feel, is not going to fit into that middle order. I feel he does not have that singles and twos, the game which is a sheepish game which we used to see likes of MSD, and they'll take the game away from the opposition. He is more of a hitter, like who will take the opposition right from ball one in the power play over. So somewhere I feel Shreyas Iyer is more suited in that number four or five, close the match for India better than Ishan Kishan. So I feel, yes, that slot is open. And also, yes, we do have experience in the name of Bhuvneshwar. He bowled brilliantly today, but still I feel he is more better off with the new ball, which I feel that is not that threatening right now with the new ball. So I'm just worried about that position. And India is going much spin heavy. If you will see, we have Aksar, we have Jadeja, we have Rahul Chahar, we have Ashwin, so to Varun Chakravarti, we have gone in with too much spin heavy. So maybe somewhere slot in one more pacer as a backup for Bhuvneshwar in case it does not perform. Yes, his experience is going to matter a lot, but being more threatening with the new ball is also necessary.
He did take a wicket maiden in his first over today. I think one thing that hasn't been taken advantage of, which by any of the teams, is that you actually have eight spaces in your injury reserves who travel with you. I think most teams have used three at the moment, so I wouldn't be surprised, especially if you have the resources like India or England or maybe Australia, that you'll see more of those travelling reserves spaces filled out, so that there's a lot of games coming up. If someone does get injured, then you've got more options on what you want to do. I think just on Ishan Kishan, he's very obviously a role pick for India. If they want someone to come in and not value their wicket and hit very hard, very quickly, then he's the man to do that. The likes of Surya Kumar and Kohli will be the ones who play the more traditional roles through the middle. So I think that's where India have gone there. Given his form so far in this return to the IPL, if there are some other Indian players who hit big in that way, off the top of my head, the only one I can really think of is Tawatia, and that is... that's only off a few performances. We don't really have that many of the huge hitters, possibly Abdul Samad.
Hence the desire to get Hardik Pandya fit again. His fitness is somewhat unclear. Ashutosh, I think this question actually can go for a lot of teams. How much does playing on these Indian pitches help the Indian plan for the World Cup? It seems like a lot of teams are going to know an awful lot more about some of their players in the World Cup squad, having got them into the IPL, and some players actually getting game time in the IPL. For example, Jason Roy, who we saw today. This will be a big deal, no one for England, if Jason Roy can score some runs on these pitches.
Yes, very much. And they won't be surprised if they are going to be entertained with the spin right from ball one. And this is going to happen. And compared to India's group, England's group is quite much tougher because they are having Africa, South Africa, West Indies, and also Australia. So it's not going to be that easy, even for England. So we are almost surprised with every pitch we are seeing, right? Some are coming out of like a two spin heavy, some are like getting slower after power play overs in the more are getting slower in the second inning, and some are just a flat decks, which are right like Sharjah pitches. So you will always be surprised with what is going to be offered. That is the reason you will have to keep in your side and every asset for every condition, because you just have no idea what is going to happen. And if you will notice that most of the teams which are winning the toss are opting to bowl because they just have no idea what is on the offer. They want to see first how the teams are going, and also the day matches and the day-night matches, there's massive difference how the pitch is behaving. So yes, conditions are definitely going to help everyone, but I felt this, they went too much earlier in selection of the squad. Now I feel that after seeing all these IPL matches, there will be quite a few changes in plenty of teams. I won't be surprised if even Jason Holder somewhere has been included in West Indies squad. He's not even part of that squad. I'm very surprised. So overall, I feel after watching all these matches, there will be plenty of changes looking at the conditions and how pitches are behaving, because still more matches to go, and a few of these trips are really going to turn out to be slower going into qualifiers, which is starting from 17th. So yes, plenty of thinking to do for many teams.
Yeah, they had to name their provisional 15th by a certain date, and then there is another date, which I think might be as late as the 10th of October. Yeah, it's quite late, which will be after the end of the IPL group stages to select their final 15s.
You are listening to the Cricket Badger Podcast.
There's a rat in the kitchen, what am I gonna do? There's a rat in the kitchen, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna get a black rat. Cricket bat. Rep fans. The best kit available to maximise those scoring opportunities from blackratcricket.com. Bats made by cricketers for cricketers. Make 2021 count with Black Rat Cricket.
We should discuss some other non-IPL news before we go. Moeen Ali has announced his retirement from Test cricket. Just take a few minutes each to sum up what Moeen's Test legacy, which is an interesting one, and... Were we particularly surprised that Moeen has announced his retirement from Test cricket?
No, not at all. I think he lost the great love of Test cricket back in 2019 when despite being the best wicket taker in the world in the format over the last year, one poor game off the back of a World Cup where he'd started reasonably, but then been dropped when the team changed how they set up based on the pitches and his middling returns as well, led to him being dropped, which I think was fair, but then led to him losing his central contract when I don't think that was really justified at the time. And the way that the head of the selection committee, I believe that was his official title, treated him in that time and then treated him again when he came back against India and they tried to walk back the rest and rotation policy because they felt they couldn't trust anyone else to do the bowling. I think to a certain extent, he felt that he was singled out when things went badly. He was feted as the face of multicultural England when things were going well, but it was very quick to blame him. Otherwise, I think he's
said as much, hasn't he? He said that he felt like it was Moeen Ali's fault when England lost. But Naaman, how will we assess? You know my thoughts on Moeen Ali. I'm a huge fan of the man and the cricketer, and he's a delight to watch. But your thoughts on him as a Test cricketer, and how will we? Do you think we'll think of him as a better Test cricketer with the benefit of a couple of years of hindsight?
Yes, he was an asset for sure going into the Test matches and with those off spinners. I still remember the ball he bowled to Virat Kohli, which cleaned him up much like Nathan Lyon did. So, but overall, I feel that CSK and somewhere his own county team, if I'm not wrong, Warwickshire, right?
Worcestershire.
So him batting at one down, coming up, Dhoni promoting him, and then he playing himself at one down, he discovered something new out of himself. No one expected this to happen. And somewhere I feel that he felt that, yes, I am a better batsman. No, even for CSK, no one expected that he will be this threatening with coming one down and just going hitting spinners out of the park. And he felt like I can do much better with what I have done lately. That is why he has mentioned that he somewhere was underrated in Test matches. He could have been given more opportunities, not with the ball, but with the bat. So I feel that in T20s and lately in the ODI, he has discovered himself as a better batsman with getting more opportunities, batting higher up the order, which he has not gotten since he has started his career. So I feel he has prolonged his career into white ball cricket and Dom Bess and likes of other all-rounders and more bowling all-rounders, he has set up a stage for themselves to come in into the red ball cricket. But yes, I've mentioned he was a terrific cricketer for England going into the red ball, especially in the Asian conditions, to have a batsman who can bowl those offs giving accompanying your regular spinners. Yes, England will surely miss him, but as Neil mentioned, he in last 2-3 years he had lost his love for red ball cricket. He was just coming into the team because he was being pushed into. It was not like he wanted to accelerate in this red ball cricket and do something much on Test cricket level. But yes, overall fantastic career. And yes, England is going to miss him. But I feel now he'll be a better white ball cricket from now on.
Yeah, we'll still see him in the T20 World Cup, hopefully. Yeah. I've been banging the Moeen batting at three instead of Darwin Malan drum. I mean, that's where he's batting most of his career, really. It's only really England who've... he's had a curious career. Started, came into the team as a batter who bowled, ended it as a bowler who batted in Test cricket. But we'll miss him in the Test whites. He's given us some fine memories, and we'll have those highlights to watch back on. And we'll have many more years of him carting spinners to all parts of various parks. A question from our dear leader to help wrap up the show. Only the second win for the Sunrise of Hyderabad, and only the second outing, Neil, of that shirt.
Yeah, it's saved for special occasions. Or maybe it's my fault. Maybe if I'd been wearing it more, then we'd have closed out some of those games that we failed to. No, on to the mega auction, on to next season. Let's give the young lads a chance, getting Giggsy for the rest of the season, and let people prove what they can do. We keep Rashid, we keep Bairstow, everyone else can go, and we'll see if Kane's worth the right to matching. We build new, give Trevor Bayliss the team that he wants so that he can set it up to play the way that he wants. I think he's still got a a Tom Moody team. And while I love the way that Tom Moody teams play, that is not how Bayliss wants his cricket played. And you need all ducks in a row before you can really get success. Coach, squad makeup, and the philosophy of the team have to be in line if we're going to have success. We're just lucky that this has fallen apart the year before a mega auction so that it can be fixed, hopefully, quite quickly.
You heard it. We go again. Thank you to Neil Virani and to Naman Shah and to James for giving me the keys to this fine podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more IPL 2021 daily. It's a double header tomorrow, rare midweek double header in the morning game here in the UK. Kolkata Knight Riders take on Delhi Capitals in Sharjah, possibly very spin friendly Sharjah. Delhi coming off two very comfortable wins, KKR coming off two big victories and one very close defeat, and Mumbai Indians taking on the Punjab Kings in a battle of the underperformers in Abu Dhabi in the evening. We'll be back after both of those games, but you can find this podcast on any of your podcast platforms and live on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook as well. But until then, it's goodbye from Naman and Neil and myself. Tune in again tomorrow for more Badger discussion. Cheers, everybody.
Brought to you in association with Who Knows Wins. Put your money where your mates are and play along with the Cricket Badger. Thanks for listening. We'll be back every day throughout IPL 14. Have your say on Twitter on @cricket_badger. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Podcast Network.